Hello?
Yes?
Marco, that's better.
The sound is okay now?
Much better.
Okay, fantastic. Now,
I
am in my studio, very, very fresh and calm.
Sorry to interrupt your walk. It was a good idea.
Yeah,
I would have walked with you, but we wouldn't have been able to record it.
Yeah, I normally do that and works, but obviously this is a different challenge.
Well, again, thank you for making time for us to speak today. I wanted to ask you to go back in time and tell me how art began to enter your life.
How? What? Entered
when
your life?
And when and how art entered your life.
This is a very, very long story. It may be boring. like all children, I start making drawings very, very early, like 5 or 6 years old. The only different thing is I didn't stop and worked very, very hard each day. And almost I went to the school when I didn't draw. And this is, I think, I didn't know how to write, and because of that, I started making drawings. And maybe the same reason I didn't stop, because I didn't learn to write the way that I would like to write. This is maybe so. And then I continue. My first exhibition was when I was 15 years old in Buenos Aires, and a gallery called Barriel, and it was a big show of drawings. And then finally, when I was 18 years old, I stopped completely for 20 years. And my country was a dictatorship. My family changed completely in 24 hours. And I stopped. I made many, many mistakes in different fields. I study law, I have a bachelor in law, then I did journalism, I work in constructions and in a company that my family had. And finally, I returned to art when I was 38 years old.
And where were you at that time?
I was in New York. It's a very long trip, first in Europe. I start there, but then the big time was in New York. Yeah.
So, how would you characterize the drawings that you did for your first show?
Totally different because it was figurative. It's no abstract, but at the same time the same scale, very, very thin lines, only one line, the whole drawing, and working many, many hours a day, like today, and enjoying a lot. And I think last year, a publisher did a book with 100 of those drawings in Paris. Yeah.
So you published a book of those early drawings?
Yeah. No, me. A collector first bought those drawings in Montevideo. I didn't know that those drawings exist. And finally, he asked me to have an authorization to publish them, and he did that, and they are published now.
And can I find those on the internet?
I don't. Maybe I don't know. Jose has copies, and maybe I can send you a link.
Oh, that would be wonderful if you would.
Yeah.
I would love to see them. So tell me.
I was 10 years old. No, this is 12 years. I think was my show in Buenos Aires was 15 years old, but the collection of these drawings are from 5 years earlier. Yeah.
So what was it like for you to see all those drawings again?
was a shock, a very, very strong shock, yeah. Because the collector bought it the very, very strange way in Uruguay. He found that, and finally he came to visit me in Naples and took from his portfolio an envelope, the same envelope, Manila color, that I put all my drawings when I was a child. And he told me, I bought these 100 drawings last month, and I want to publish a book and whatever. It was a very, very strange situation for me, yeah.
Well, but technically, what do you see when you look at those drawings? What does it tell you about the work that you're doing now?
It's very strange, the relationship, because all the drawings in this series, what a very specific series, all have watches, clocks, no? Around clocks. And the other thing that the series had was drawings, turtles, like turtles, like the, no? And all related with time and slowness, and like the issue is the same issue, but very different, because it's they are always very childish and very fresh and very fast at the same time. No? Yeah.
But it's interesting that the idea of time and slowness has persisted.
Yeah,
your work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's probably more important now than ever.
Yes, absolutely. I think I many people ask me how is my routine now, and it's the same routine that I have for the last 30 years, like a quarantine life. And and always about time, always about sedimentation and calm. And and I was the same when I was a child, exactly the same.
Were there any other artists in your family?
It was a privilege, my house, but not related with visual arts. My father and mother were writers, and in the middle of one very, very special generation in Uruguay. And my house was like the center of that. We received many, many writers from Spain and France and Argentina and all the Uruguayan generation. That is the 45, is the generation 45, 45 generation in Uruguay, yeah. And was very related with art, but not with visual arts. No family making drawings or sculpture, no. Always books and history or this kind of thing.
But you've made your art your language.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious, and your work is so steeped, the roots of your work are so steeped in philosophy.
Yeah, no, and I always think drawings very, very close to written language, no? The idea of like alphabet and syntax and time, and I always think that to draw is very similar to write without words. No?
Yes.
And it's the only way to think without words or numbers. No?
Yes.
But it's a thinking process, I think so.
Talk to me about the materiality of your work and how you came to work in so many different ways, on so many different surfaces, but yet speaking the same language.
Yeah, I always say that I'm a superficial artist because I love surfaces, you know? And almost all my work is a relationship between a tool and a surface. And it's like the same illness traveling from one surface to the other. And the calligraphy change because of the surface. It's a reaction of the surface. Now, it's totally different calligraphy if I work on paper, with pencil, or I work with paper, cutting paper, or on a plexiglass, or one apple. But always is that very intimate relationship between tool and surface.
So you have a 20-year break from art due to circumstances in your country. Then you return to drawing. When did you begin to experiment and play with all of these other elements? How did that occur?
Yeah, well, only going a little bit back. My family was in Uruguay. The dictatorship was cruel and terrible, but with my family. We were lucky, but all changed around, you know, like all the cultural context changed completely. And also my father need to start again, like a lawyer, working like a lawyer and with companies and things that they were not related at all with his field. And obviously was a big shock for all the family, you know, and this was important in my vocation or my, yeah. When I arrived to New York, it was 96, and I did a master in fine art in the same town that I live now, in New Paltz, upstate New York. And during university time, I started playing with different surfaces and different materials, from aluminum foil, from kitchen foil, no, or plexiglass or paper or many, including apples, was a project in my MFA thesis, was on apples, drawing on apples. Yeah.
I'm always interested in the idea of play in a studio, especially where the work is so fine and intense as yours tends to be. It requires so much of you physically and mentally and emotionally. What do you have as a release in the studio? What do you do? Where do you go to kind of unwind?
Very intense, my activity is the opposite. And at the same time, I don't need vacation or breaks. I love to work the whole day. I have a beautiful relationship with books, and I hear novels the whole day from audiobooks. No, and
yeah.
These are my horizontal is the paper, my vertical is the literature. And
I see.
Yeah, and this is my whole day. It's no more than that, and sleep and eat and talk with my wife after the studio hours, and that's it. And repeating. I love repetition. Yeah.
So when you...
Obviously, like you know, I don't speak too much English, no? with nobody, you know? And that is a very... It's not only rustic, it's not rusty, no? Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously drawing is your practice. Things become sculptural or installations, but it's all based on drawing. So I want you to talk to me about this idea of reduction that you seek to achieve, and also the idea of slow, especially for the viewer.
Yeah. Normally, art have some goals, some concepts, or like a plan. Or relationship within first with the material and then with the public or the viewer. And my goal or my concept is very, very tiny. My only plan is to make the viewer slower and closer. And for that, scale is very important, because when you cannot see, you try to see and you lost time looking at, and this is very good for me. And the same time, if you think time goes slow, I always, my work is like an itinerary on the space, on the room, or on one paper. Always itinerary to read, like reading a book. And yeah, the best tool for that for me is scale, precision, and confusion. No very clear message, no? Something that you can see and you don't know what it is, and maybe 2 minutes later you think that is one thing, and maybe 10 minutes later the opposite, and maybe you see again the drawing a few months later and it's another thing. And this kind of dichotomy and at the same time impossible to fix a conclusion, for me is the, when I am happy with a viewer, is what that happens. No?
It sounds like that's your play.
Yeah, maybe it's my play.
Because you're playing with our mind and you're trying to confound with your technique and draw us in to look more fully, more carefully, to absorb. And yeah, you're doing that in a time when the world is big and loud and fast.
Absolutely. I think it's statement, but it's really, really radical from the actuality nowadays. Not only that, also the idea of long distance. Everything that is very important now is long, is far, very far. No, you go to one coffee shop and you don't speak with the people that you have maybe in the same table, because you are reading your WhatsApp or talking or whatever iPhone. No, we don't share anything at coffee shop. The more important thing is we share the Wi-Fi connection. No? That is the more important element in our conversation, because always the most important is far, and fast and far. That's, I think, the world now. And obviously my work is the opposite than that.
Well, your work is much about intimacy.
Exactly.
Excuse me. It's so much about intimacy and one-on-one.
Yeah, I think intimacy right now is very subversive, and slowness too, and put attention is shocking, because it's the opposite that we do, scrolling or browsing, or very, very difficult to focus on something, no? And it's the only thing that I do the whole day, and my only goal, thinking in a viewer, no? To try to focus attention and break, no? To break.
Have you read the book Slow Art by
No.
Reed? Oh,
nope.
You must get this book.
Okay.
It's called Slow Art, The Experience of Looking, Sacred Images, and James Turrell. And the author is Reed, R-E-E-D.
Okay, perfect.
You need to read the book, because like you, I'm very interested in slowing things down. I'm interested in the intimacy, especially with drawing. And I'm also interested, and I saw a quote of yours where you're talking about that space between the work and the viewer.
Yes.
I actually see it as the space between you, the maker, and me, the observer, as the space that where I feel connected as humans.
Yeah, I many, many work are related with the maker idea, no? Trying to for like send a message, no? The artist sending a message and then the viewer receiving the message. And it's the artist, the object, and the viewer. And for me, always, the more important relationship is between the viewer and the objects and the space in between. And not my idea or the viewer conclusion of the object. It's not the space in between. For me, that's very, very important, no? The short distance and objective intimacy. Because slowness and intimacy all normally are related with meditation or this kind of thing. And in my case, it's not related at all. It's related to information, how the information flows, how attention and focus, or the opposite. I think the biggest illness in this time is dispersion, that is the opposite than focus, and I think that the space between the viewer and the work is all my statement is that space.
So you're saying that your concern is about the process of looking.
Exactly.
And the process of being with an object. It's
exactly.
Not what you take from it, but it's the process of being with it.
Exactly. And no, it's not a clear message. It's the opposite.
Right.
And trying to maybe normally a viewer spend like 10 seconds looking at a work of art, in like average in a museum. I would love to have 20 seconds or 25 seconds or something like that.
So that was pretty much very much what you were trying to achieve in at the Biennale in Venice.
Yeah. It's,
the whole installation was about that, correct?
Yeah. And all my work is almost nothing when you go fast and from far and start like emerging and when you go closer and slower. And more close, more slow, more information, more different layers, and more opportunity to change idea about your visual field. This is, and in Venice was the whole room, you was empty, totally white on white, nothing there. But if you put attention, and it was like opening new things.
So then talk about the show you had at Jose's, which I missed seeing, sadly, where it was in the dark.
Yeah, it was in the dark with hats, with a LED light on the hat, and the people walk around the show and always were close-up. Impossible to see the whole drawing. You can go like chasing and look one square feet, and was all around the gallery, and nobody saw the whole drawing, and I think was that the idea, no? The idea to have only close-up, no other thing. Have information on the floor, information on the ceiling, and all the walls, and yeah.
So it was like wearing a miner's lamp and going through a mine.
That's exactly the image, and it was very clear that the show depends more than the viewer point of view than the work itself.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Was like an itinerary. Each person make a new edition of the work, and because it can walk from left to right or the opposite, don't go fast, don't see anything, and whatever.
I'd like you to talk more about your own process. Obviously, you're building engineering these amazing drawings, often using cut forms with adhesives. Is it spontaneous or is it well-planned and designed?
I think it's both. It's exactly the same process and write a letter. You know the alphabet, you
mm-hmm.
know syntax, you know if you will write a big letter or a short letter, and which kind of issue you want to achieve or tell, but no plans, no? I don't do sketches or, no. It's like action and reaction, but going with a general plan, no? It's a small drawing, it's a big drawing, it's a whole room, it's a museum installation, I have pieces, slight pieces, like 2 inches by 2 inches, and then I have installation of 5,000 or 10,000 square feet. And obviously, it's two different strategies or different plans. The scale are always the same. Like each element is very, very small, and the plan is totally on the flow. There's no prepare or no.
So would you say there's experimentation within that?
Absolutely. This is when I start in Venice, I start in one corner, and then I finish like 2 months later,
mm-hmm.
returning to the same corner, and after working all the walls, totally spontaneous and totally at the same time, prepare or train to react of each situation in each area or whatever. No? And I think it's very, very similar to jazz. This
uh-huh.
It's totally an improvisation, but at the same time, totally prepared. Or the people knows different things and start, like write a letter, exactly the same, no?
Yeah. Well, I like the word improvisation related to your work. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, it's 100.
So at some point, you start working the same process, but now you're working on color. You're adding color to the white page, and then you turn to black page and adding color. Talk to me about that transition.
Yeah, it's very strange because I don't add color at all. I always work with a material with color included, no? Paper, or I don't put color, no? It's color paper, but no adding color to one white paper. And also very, very clear colors. I work with gray scale, which is black, gray, and white, and then primary colors, like red, blue, and yellow. And all related with functions. You know, the idea of very clear colors that maybe is in, like red and yellow in traffic lights or in plan, floor plan, in one architecture they have the heat installation in red, and then they have the electrical installation in blue, or very clear, like very elemental, no mixing, no,
it's pure,
clear graphic, mm-hmm. and the same time, more and more difficult to see the color. No, this is the new thing. No, like the last 2 months, right? Like the
dose. Oh, I don't think I've seen these. So they're close tonal values.
No, it's no. Imagine a paper with many white squares on white. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then in each square, that is maybe 1/16 inch, very small square. In the middle, have a point that is nothing, almost blue or yellow or red or gray, and when you see the whole thing, the color vibrates, and it's very, very difficult to know which area is red or blue or yellow.
So it's like pixelated. It has a pixelated look?
No, because the touches of color, I am talking maybe 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tiny, 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 tiny.
Mm-hmm.
No,
almost like a dot?
Yeah, but square.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
Because it's a long rectangle that is a
mm-hmm.
line that I cut on
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very, very tiny pieces, all different sizes because it's cut by hand, but always tiny, tiny, tiny. And they have many, and that situation is like very strange. No serialism, it's no pixelation, it's no, because all this is based on big units. And this, this is like a homeopathic color.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm curious about something, and just dawned on me talking to you. When I speak with students, I often talk to them about the need to have a life, that you have to get out of your studio and you have to live in the world and you have to have experiences because that's what you bring into the studio to feed the work. And in listening to you and your process, which is quite the opposite, it appears, I'm wondering, in listening to novels and books constantly while you're working, if that translates as living a life, but it's more in the imagination.
Yeah, I think it's, I didn't talk in detail about all this sound element, because really I think if I work 12 hours a day, I think I hear books 8 or 9, and then
mm-hmm.
I hear radio, special programs with different issues, mainly on in French, French culture. And it also, that is related with experience. No, I think it's literature is 100% experience, only wider than reality. But
mm-hmm.
it's similar thing. No, good writers.
Right.
No,
I'm right.
talking about good writers, and also good radio programs are similar. No, you can hear philosophers or writers or whatever, talking about different issues and actualities and things. Yeah.
Do you listen to music occasionally also?
Impossible. Yeah.
No, okay.
No, totally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I don't know why. But,
well, it's a language you're interested in.
Yeah,
yeah.
Think it's...
However, you get the language, yeah.
Yeah, and also music, I think, is very similar. And my work, you know,
mm-hmm.
with one advantage, that don't take space. You know, it's like a drawing without space.
Right.
And it's very difficult to do something hearing the same, but in other way. You know, like this, totally, I love music. My wife is a composer and a piano and oboe, and very important in our life, music, but I can't work with music at all. It's impossible. I can work with many people around. I can make drawings. I can, no problem. It's not like a tempo or something silent. But the best way is to be in silence in my studio, hearing stories. That's the best way to work.
Well, when you think about music and drawing, you can use the same terminology, because you're talking about rhythms and you're talking about tonal values and you're talking about, I mean, I can sort of understand what you're saying to me.
Yeah, I did a show.
And you're in a certain rhythm with drawing, and then you're hearing some different rhythm with the music, and
yeah.
It's interesting.
I did a show at Vassar College.
Uh-huh.
And the solo show was, the title was Lentissimo. Very slow in Italian, no? That is a a rhythm in music, no? Very
right.
slow. The slowest is larguísimo, but this is lentísimo, it's very slow too. And always I have relationship with music, but I cannot work with music.
Mm-hmm. I get it. What's in your mind now? What have you not done that is playing in your head and something that you are curious about and hope to achieve? Is there something you want to share?
Yeah, you know, I have no connection between the news and my work. You know, there's no connection there. I am not reacting to situations, different situations or whatever. But at the same time, when I look my drawings more and more, I see something that is very similar than the way that I read the reality right now. No, it's like like 20 years ago, in each big city or a small town, you have two or three big newspapers or TV station or whatever. And that situation that was like a pyramid, no? Information works like a pyramid, no? In the 90s or the whole 20th century. Right now, all that explodes completely in many, 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 many fragments. Like postmodern fragments are huge if you see from now, no? Like the little fragments that Peter Handke talked like 20 years ago, right now, they are huge because the dissemination and the fragmentation is unbelievable. We don't have more 3 or 1,000 newspapers. You have 3 billion editors, no? Writing in social media and photographers, all is totally, totally disseminate and tiny. And this kind of pulverization, I don't know the word in English, is that pulverize, is that works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you take a big thing and you start doing...
Smush it all, yeah, right.
Yeah, pulverize, it's okay?
Yes, it's good.
Okay, pulverization of... rationality. It's no more rational because it's pulverized.
Yes, and
this
I get
is,
it.
This is the way that we are, that, and I am going, I am doing that right now. With
so
no, like rational answer to this situation. It's not, it's something that go together, like this quarantine or this slow time. It's no something that I am doing that because it's happening now, because I am living that way or looking the world the same way for 30 years. But in this moment, it's a coincidence, a very strange coincidence. Also, my drawings and this very strange way that the information flows, like right now in the planet. It's very strange, the way that all the news or the fake news or the crazy things happen and how people are all day in relationship and no more responsibilities, anything. And at the same time, I am optimistic, not right now, but I think all this very, very, very crazy mix will sediment in a good way. Sometimes, I don't know, I think we are just starting this kind of very free connection, no? Very crazy connections.
What I hear is that your work, you've been doing your work and you're doing your work, and it all comes from this sincere place within you and this desire. But the work has become of the moment, ironically, and the work has become a metaphor.
Absolutely, it's almost actually. I am doing realism.
Yeah. I like this concept a lot. I mean,
yeah,
because
yeah,
what you're doing is giving a visualization to this confounding time in our lives when the dissemination is so overwhelming and gross.
You asked me about what is like my next project or my next idea or what, and all this related with this pulverization process. Not only in drawings, if not, I told you, I think early about the show in Paris.
Right, you started to tell me what it's about, but we didn't.
Yeah, the floor is dark gray and very, very well done, very smooth and almost bright and interesting floor, no? It's a big area. And my idea is to make, like, I don't know, 200,000 little cuts on paper, like 2 months cutting paper, and then spread on the floor with no glue, with nothing. The people walk in and will mix colors. And this is the totally freedom, totally random, and on the floor. On the wall will be the same particles, but in order. At the same time, the order is a disorder, no? Because it's no order at all. But this kind of, like, particular, you know, like close up from the floor and stable and framed. And the floor is totally free and crazy. And this
everything blows with the wind.
Yeah, exactly. I love a window. No, I don't have that. I will have a window in the space and the paper moving. Tiny paper, no? We are talking about tiny papers. And maybe you cannot see it if you don't put attention, but I would have thousands. This is.
And some of them will stick to your shoes and clothes, probably.
Yeah.
It moves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long will an installation like that take for you to create?
It's a month, but mainly focus on the drawings on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and almost all the floor things, I think 50% or 80% will be pieces of paper that I didn't choose for putting a drawing, like too tiny or whatever. And it's the same process. Like a derivative, no?
Do you have to work with a magnifying glass?
Yeah, always, but no using the magnifying glass. I have
a big sheet of some kind.
I have a beautiful these lamps with light at the same time, and very good optics quality. But I use only when I have a problem.
When I
can see something that I already did. I don't draw through the magnifying glass. It's impossible. Impossible to,
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've consumed more than 45 minutes, which I promise you, and I think I could probably talk to you for another hour, but I need to let you get back to your work, into your books, and
move to the beautiful Boulder. I love that.
I'm actually in Vail Valley, so I'm not far from Boulder, but I'm further west in the Vail Valley, so between Boulder and Aspen, I'm somewhere in between.
Both amazing, no? Totally different. I think in the middle is the perfection.
It's so beautiful, and I'm living here full time now, and I get back, you know, the collection is still based in New York and archived in New York, and so I work out of New York. And I go there as I need to, but, you know, I have an associate who sort of manages all that for me, which allows me to be in Colorado and enjoy this magnificent landscape and do what I do. So, but I miss seeing you, but I watch your work all the time and stay in touch that way. So your profile, this recording, I have a new section on my website where I'm featuring these dialogues, because I want to give graduate students a chance to hear directly from the artists, hear them talk about their life and their work. I extract some elements from the dialogue to be written on the page, and then I usually feature a work from the collection of the artists on that page. And so it'll be a growing archive of these conversations. And I just felt your voice was so important because I think we are very much aligned in the way that drawing lives in our lives and what its purpose is for each of us. And I've long felt that connection with you, and so this is a real honor for me to have this time with you.
Joanna, I love to talk with you, and at the same time, I am very sorry about my English and for your students, because my English is terrible. But at the same time, I like that, because it's very similar to my drawings. It's not easy to understand, because the whole thing that I love is impossible to understand. I don't like things that I can understand. I like things I cannot understand.
That's what inspires you. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it makes me, it's going to make me slow down and listen very carefully when I have to transcribe this. So
yeah, it's
I'll
not
relive
easy.
It with you again.
It's not easy, Joanna. Sorry,
easy.
Sorry.
No,
sorry,
please, Sophie.
Sorry. Okay.
My regards to your wife, please, and you stay well and healthy and happy, and I'll very much look forward to what's next. And also, I'm going to write to Jose to see if I can get a copy of the book of your early drawings. That would be really good for me to have in my library.
Okay, fantastic, great.
Okay.
Ciao, ciao, and thank you so much.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.